Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed. Yo, this your boy Sam, man, from the Listen Up Podcast, man. I'm joined by my guest today, man, Kenny Shaw, National Championship wide receiver.
What's
man,
what's good,
up,
everybody? Man, hey, I can't call it. Just blessed to be living, man.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Hey, man, I'm glad to have you on, man. Kenny, you just welcomed a new baby boy, right?
Yeah, I got a little boy on the way. Hey, he already give me a run for my money, but hey, it's definitely a blessing just to, you know, to see him grow and then just to see him actually approach the earth and just be kicking and all what he's doing now, man. It's definitely something you can't really describe, but it's, you know, it's just see him out there for the first time. I came back and threw a session after being away for months of not training the kids and all that, and just having him out there and my little Charles Raw, little custom made gear. I wasn't gonna cry in front of everybody, but it was a little surreal moment, you know.
So what he is now? What is a month? Is he a month?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good times. That's good times. Keeping you up at night. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, it's so much stuff that you don't even know what you be looking forward to. Like, man, he went 3 days not pooping, you know, because they don't know how to work their little bowel movement. Yeah. And just to see him poop, like, man, me and my girl, we cheering, shit like that. And it's like, it's just little things that you don't know what you gonna look forward to. Every day something different.
Yeah, it's one of those things, bro. Like, you had a kid, like, you be thinking, like, okay, kid gonna be here, I just gotta have enough money to afford the kid and all this other stuff. Then, like, all this little stuff start getting you excited about the kid. You know what I'm saying?
Man, so much stuff. Now it's like, man, but I'm not gonna lie, like, each week during her pregnancy, he changed and did something. So it's like, it makes sense as he might even have a different cry 1 week. So it's like, man, you just gotta watch that kid like you don't watch nothing else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how I was. Man, I couldn't even sleep at night, man. I couldn't even sleep at night for the first 3 months, man. But hey, man, welcome everybody to the show. I got Kenny Shaw on the show, man. If you look in the comment section, I got his plug right here, Shaw's Raw Academy, and his Instagram. Mm-hmm. Make sure y'all tap on those links, man, and subscribe and check out the website, man. What exactly are you doing with Shaw's Raw?
Man, I'm doing whatever. Kind of God lead me, man. I do route running training, I do receiver training, I do little events with DCF and foster kids. I'm looking forward to doing, you know, like some mental health stuff. I'm diving in so much things, but I'm also I'm doing it in a way that's, you know, more so low key, because, you know, I like to, when I do step into something, I like to step correct. So I'm just, whatever I'm doing is basically to pave the way for the youth, because, you know, man, shoot, if they going downhill, then our future messed up. You know what I mean? So
it's
more so like, shoot, we, like you said, we approaching 30 or we 30 and we don't seen some things, so why not give it back? Yeah, whether it be some physically in football or mentally, like life wise, you know. So
yeah,
the Shaw's Raw thing is,
It's crazy, man, because, you know, you're not really sitting here unless it was a black dude in your community that was doing the same thing, man. So that's kind of like great, man, to see you going back out and doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Putting that work back in, man. That's what's up. But, man.
Nah, definitely.
let me ask you a question. So I guess I don't even really follow former. I don't really follow players like that. But I had saw your clip with you training the wide receivers and everything. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. You know, Keenan out of training wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So I guess the whole idea was I wanted to come in and just talk about receiver play and everything, because I think the last 2 years our receiver play has been down at Florida State. So I was going to ask you, like, mm-hmm. what type of jump is it from high school to college? Like, what type of jump is that to being a wide receiver, especially at a big-time university? Because you and Rashard kind of, I mean, y'all kind of was the anomaly. Like, y'all just kind of came in, like, I think year two, both of y'all caught, like, 30-plus balls. So.
Yeah. The jump is on a lot of different levels. The jump more so comes, though, within yourself because, you know, you got all different types of wideouts. You got, you know, like the smaller ones like me or Shy, as you notice. You got big body ones. Each one, though, got to come in and jump into it, like a realization that they're not going to be the best right away. And once you kind of humble yourself and you know what your weakness is and you work on those, then, hey, the sky's the limit. And, you know, I always knew, you know, I wasn't the biggest guy or the fastest guy, but, you know, that's why I jumped into my strengths, which was route running. It always been separation and route running. Like, I'm not gonna give you blazing times in the 40. I'm not gonna pass the eye test, but you know, once the whistles blow, I'm gonna make my statement. You know, I always played off vengeance because, you know, it's based off like we was talking about before the kind of show, growing up.
Draco, if you don't get
my dog.
You good.
Get your big self downstairs. Go.
Nah, but like we were talking about beforehand with the, you know, growing up with a mother, how we had with sacrificing, you get some toughness. You get some toughness about you, and not many people know that. The woman is where you get your toughness from, and right. You know, father is usually like they hold it down and more tougher. But you know, that tough vengeance, all that part comes from the mother, and it makes sense because, you know, looking back on my mom, she was as a strong woman, and you know, I just knew that, you know, no matter what was said, what somebody said I couldn't do, that woman was gonna say that I can do it. And sure, you got people on your team like that. It's you can do whatever you want, but that jump from high school to college is scary.
Yeah.
It's one that, like I said, you got to humble yourself because no matter what you ranked, or even if you ranked, you're gonna go into a situation where it's a guy that been there 3+ years and he know a little bit more than you. So
right.
Regardless, you gotta make a statement. So I think nowadays with the issue with wideouts nowadays it's not that ability, because they stronger and faster. It's right. more so the accountability level for themselves, and just they promise too much. And yeah. once you promise the kids, you know, you promising them already they're gonna start. You promising them the world already, and they ain't really earned nothing. And that's not a good recipe for success. And I thank Coach Dalsey, my receiver coach, in the time. He, you know, I asked the question, where am I on the depth chart, you know, coming in? And, you know, they ain't sugarcoat with me. Like, they was like, you're going to be number 5 or 6 coming in. And, you know, I took that as that's a challenge for me. I like challenges. Like I said, I work off vengeance. I work off, like, I like when I see, oh, Kenny too small. Or I like when I see Kenny – you know, because, hey, we messed around, and damn, I think it was T. Brooks at the time. We got a the password to the war chant fan little type stuff.
Oh, I got the subscription. They got a subscription.
Yeah. Oh man, we got the code. We got the password to that thing, and man, our feelings were so hurt. I was seeing stuff like. And it sticks to me to this day because I remember it and I just laugh at it now, but it's like I work off vengeance. But one fan was like, man, Kenny, he 140 pounds soaking wet. I'll be surprised he see the field year three. And we all reading through this, and you know, even like the best, the most highly rated of us are getting like shit talked about it. So it's like, man, at the end of the day, it's like, what we gonna do as an athlete? Mm-hmm. Either we gonna fold on the pressure or we gonna get it. So, but I was thankful for just to be 56, because you know, I always like to work for my things in life. And you know, that whole year, I was just towards the end, I was happy when Jimbo gave me a package. You know, it was a 5-receiver set package. And mind you, I was 6 on the depth chart, but just him making the 5th package for me in my freshman year, and then having a couple touchdowns that year too, it boosted me into my confidence that I needed.
It's crazy when you talk about you and T. Brooks, because some of you guys are like a little underrated coming in. I remember that. And T. Brooks, actually, man, by the time he left, you and T. Brooks, actually, by the time you guys left, I mean, I don't think we win a national championship without you two guys. I mean, the way T. Brooks was in the back end, and you was like the most clutch third down receiver there was. Like, you was like the third down guy. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of crazy, like the evolution, how that went, man. But I guess my bigger question would be, when we talk about these wide receivers, because I think at Florida State, the phrase they get thrown around a lot with our wide receivers, that they can't win one-on-ones. They can't win one-on-ones. And I asked somebody about this, and I mean, I'm going to ask you too. And they was like, it's really not about being faster or being stronger. It's about winning off the line of scrimmage. Like, he brought this point up to me. He was like, you know, Devontae Adams really ain't that fast. But he was like, he wins off the line so much better than everybody else that he's always open. So, like, very how hard deceptive. Is that to learn that, to learn how to win off the line? Like,
you know what? Winning off the line starts, you know, looking in that mirror, like, as a man, like, who likes to, because a lot of things that it come down to, like I said, is accountability. Like, a lot like to point the fingers, but when you cut on that film, you see yourself, it's one-on-one. That's, you going to, it's just y'all too.
Right.
So it's like, who, you going to be man enough to win this dog fight, or you going to, like, the things I like to realize too, and it triggers over to life, is like, you just got to figure it out. And once you figure out your strengths and your weaknesses, you can win any battle you want to. Like I said, with Devontae Adams, like, if you deceptive as a route runner, and you, I told the guys today in a session, I said, you know, if you make every route and you have the same type of energy, just leaving the parking lot, just coming on the field, when you got some confidence about you, that does something to DBs. If you come out there half stepping, and or you doing it for likes on Instagram, you lost the battle. And it's a lot of things why you see the battles not being won. It can go all over the map. But you know, at the end of the day, if you're Division I, if you're a receiver in college, you should lick your chops when you see one-on-one. You know what I mean? Like, you should feel some type of way that they even want to play you one-on-one. It's a slap in the face. So a lot of the times receivers don't know that they have 1,000 ways to win. It's not all about speed. It's not all about size. Sometimes it's about, you know, what did I notice about this guy? Like, and it comes to just watching your opponent. You got to look at the little things. And you know, route running, winning one-on-one battles don't start on game day. It starts in practice. It starts just looking at yourself as a man in the mirror, as an athlete. It starts before you even hit the field. And a lot of the guys who are winning the one-on-one battles, they will say the same thing. Like, you know, they realize what they up against. And you know, a lot of the things that bring success is when you on the field and off, is once you realize you can't win them all.
Right.
But if you try and win a lot of times, you're going to have a good success rate. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you ain't going to win them all, but you got to have some pride about you about winning.
Yeah.
It's like a good little ratio, but I don't know the full ratio, but it's
That's crazy because I listened I had listened to Chris Carter discuss wide receiver route running, and he was talking about how when he was training Randy Moss, and he was like, you know, you're going to run this route a little different than I'm going to run the route. So it was all about repetition, repetition, and understanding, you know, what a sticky route said and everything. So I guess my bigger question would be like how much work is that to learn how to run those routes, to learn how to stick those routes and becoming that receiver that you are? Because I mean, of course, Benjamin was a little bit different than you and Rashard. And I would even say you and Rashard was a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? Your ability to work the middle of the field, you know, like almost like Danny Amendola, any of those little wide receivers from the Patriots there. Yeah. I used to talk about.
It's a different world.
Yeah, it's a different world working the middle. I had a friend told me that he played nickel corner base. That's the scariest place to play, man, because that wide receiver can go anyway, left or right. So
that's the part that I have no issue telling kids nowadays, whether they in the college, pros, wherever the case may be. It's like, I feel good telling them that, you know, you can't be the Devontae Adams. You can't be the, you know, the superstar that you see on TV. You have to find out what works for you. And a lot of these kids try and mold themselves after what they see on TV instead of, damn, what works for me? And how am I going to win 9 times out of 10? You know what I mean? So it's like once you get your niche, which I've realized once I got moved to the slot, because at first I came in as an X, and, you know, they quickly saw that, you know, in that offense, in Jimbo's offense, the outside guys was going to be bigger bodies a little bit, or they was going to be more of a deeper threat, like a 4.4 faster guy. I was never that fast. I just probably looked that fast, but I was never like no blazing runner.
Right.
But like you say, you figure out your niche and you figure out, like, I would say my mom and my girl, she would say I'm exaggerative. So right. It kind of works when I bring it to the field. Like, you know what I mean? Like I might do something that you have never seen, but I'ma keep you on your toes, because I realize that if a corner, you do something different on him every time, he in trouble. And I felt that vibe early in, like I told my mom, 7th grade, I was going to get her a scholarship at the time. Yeah. So I saw early in life that it's a good feeling when you're going to do a rep and, you know, the DB's like, man, I don't want to go. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good feeling. And you build up off that, but definitely as a receiver, you got to just figure out what works for you. And the more you can do, the better you are. So,
dude, I got a question.
Like, I'm glad you brought up different type of receivers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, somebody brought this up to me, and they were just talking about how, you know, of course, quick feet win every time, right? Quick feet win every time. But he was just talking about how the difference in the stride of a wide receiver. Like, he said, sometimes his stride may not be as long on this route as it is on that route. So trying to get receivers to understand to make those strides look the same exact way every time they come off the line, so the wide receiver, well, so the cornerback can't tell what type of route they're running. And that was something I had never even thought of. He's like, yeah, because if you're getting ready to gear up and go down the field, your stride going to look a certain way. So that you'd be like, oh, okay, so he's trying to go down the field. All right, let me go ahead and keep.
Man, that. Sam, hey, Sam, I don't know if they don't time this at the combine and stuff. Like, that's why all of them testing and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a certain type of thing that kicks in game time when the win is on the line. And I got speed. I play off of fear of speed. Yeah. So it's like if you time me in the game, my 40 time gonna be blazing. If you understand what I'm saying,
right.
So it's like, man, that's why a lot of these kids and athletes got to get away from that type of thinking, that they jump too much into how my numbers gonna look instead of working on their craft.
So I gotta ask you this question. You know, because the last couple of years, man, we've been struggling with punt returning, man. Just like, we can't find nobody to catch the football. Why is that so hard? Like, I know why it's hard in my mind, but why do you think it's so hard for us to find somebody to do that job?
Great, I want to hear why it's hard. I want to hear why it's hard on you.
bro, looking up in that air and you got people flying down the field at you, man. I just can't imagine doing that. To me, that got to be the hardest thing in football to me. Because, I mean, you got the ball flying down at you. Then you got the people, you got to gauge these people coming running at you. You don't even know if your guy on the outside has even made his block yet. So I just, it's like, you know you're going to get blowed up. Like, but between you and Greg Reed, y'all was two of the best punt returners we don't had. I mean, since Peter Ward.
I don't even think I deserve to be in the same conversation with him at punt return. But, hey, I'll take it. But, hey, that Greg Reed, the GOAT at that stuff. Him and Peter, like, man.
It's just crazy. When you look at Peter Warwick and Greg, it's like everybody moving slower than them. And they the only ones moving fast.
And they wasn't even the fastest guys.
It's just weird to me, man. It's just weird how that just looked.
Yeah.
I mean, because you see some guys, you be like, well, this guy fast. But then everybody seen like they speeding up past him. You're like, damn, he finna get blew up. Like, look at this shit. You know what I'm saying? But
Greg
would catch anything. Greg would catch it on the dribble, three dribbles. He didn't even care. He like, I'm going to go get it. It don't matter. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Now, truthfully, though, so to answer your question, I think more so a lot of stuff comes to accountability. Not many people want to say, oh, I messed up, and it's just them. Punt return, it's just you back there.
Yeah.
Whether you catch the ball or not, it's you, your decision-making that can either help or hurt the field position. And you see a lot of balls being sailed over the head, or you see a lot of bad decisions being made. You just see kids scared to make risk, and you know, it boils down to you know, we had a good coaching staff with that special teams unit that gave me the confidence back there, because that wasn't always my call, because you know, for some years it was just Rashad and I think I had G Reed and I was like, you know, that's them, like they got it. But then some stuff started happening. Then
I honestly think y'all would have won the national championship in 12 if Rashad was still doing punt returns in 12. Because I mean, he was so damn dynamic at it.
Sometimes with that coaching, it's coach, and that's what make me, I love it so much, because you can build a kid's confidence so much up, like, and make them do whatever they want, and they can trust it. And I remember getting the call to play punt return. I think it was UF game in 2012.
Right, because I mean, they tried Hunter. Was it? It was Tyler Hunter. I think they tried Tyler Hunter for a little while. Yeah. And I know they tried Rashard there for a little while too. And then you end up taking it full time.
That was my first. My first call into it, was that UF game that we lost in that. I just remember them bringing me to the office, like, man, Kenny, like, we've been losing sleep trying to figure out who we want back here, because, you know, they were showing me how much yardage we were losing, and at the time, like, how much muff we had that year. And, you know, hey, truthfully, Sam, I was like, hey, y'all trust me? But, you know what I mean? I like to set up challenges, and I like to I pride myself on if you give me the key, you know, I'll drive whatever Kodak say, I'll drive the boat, you know what I mean? But I will also try and put the team first, and with all my decision makings. And I think that's what boiled down to punt return. Like, I knew I was in the rooms and I trusted my guys who blocking for me, you know what I mean? Like, I had T Brooks and some good corners. I think I had Ramsey on the other side blocking. Yeah, in one of my years.
He enjoyed knocking people to the sideline. So
So it was like, man, I had a good special team units, and that boosted my confidence back there. Like, so, but I also see how much it was important for field position wise, you know?
Yeah. And so let me ask you this question. With the punt returning, I guess my thing, because it's hard to actually coach that, because how can you get a real live rep with punt returner? Because I know they don't like to hit a lot in practice. So how do they build a confidence up for you to, you know, catch the ball, return the ball, gunners and everything? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Man, hey, if you ain't got no confidence at that level, then you in the wrong sport. You know what I mean? You might need to be in another sport. I don't want to name no sports to make people mad, but you need to be in another sport. You ain't got no confidence back there. You know what I mean? So
right.
When it comes to practicing it, it was more like you get your reps. You get a one or two in practice, like a live rep, to see how the scheme going to work, what walls you got to get into. But then it came down to sometimes you got to do a little extra sacrifice. And so, you know, we got tutored after practice, but I knew I had to get at least 10 or 15 more, like, live punts just to – and tell the punter to kick it in all types of directions.
And, okay.
Because, you know, you see people try and practice it. They try and practice it catching so many balls, you know, like trying to – I don't know what it – it looks good, but it's like
– I get what realistically, you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. It's all about repetition and just, you know, you got to be consistent with your decision making. Like, you can't just – that's a position on that field that you can't switch your decision mid-air. You got to go for it. And that's one of the things at the time. Eddie Grand, that was our special team coordinator.
Yeah.
He was crazy as hell. But Eddie Grand was like, man, this – you the captain. Whatever decision you make, we going with it. And, you know, that make you feel good back there.
Man, that's crazy. So, it was Eddie Grant and it was Jay Grant the last year. But did Eddie have that specific punt return? Like, I think they break the coach and the special teams up, right, between the coaches, right?
Yeah, Eddie, like, the key of them all. But, you know, as a person back there, Dawsey was the one who kind of – he's back there with you in practice and kind of getting your mental – reps ready for the game time or whatever the situation may be.
Right.
So whatever punt return come on the field, Dawsey was the one I got to look to for the yard marker, you know, where I got to stand at or what's the punter's net and all that. So.
So you're trying to say that the main thing with punt returning, which it seemed, cause I mean, you was pretty fearless, man. I mean, you took some big hits in some games, man. I was just like, man, is he gonna get back up? Because I remember the Oklahoma game. I was like, dude, that was
man. I'm thankful to be walking right now. Look, hey, I'm 30 years old, still walking, man. I'm thankful, man.
Dude, you took some big hits, but you made some big catches with those big hits, also, man. So I guess does it just come back down to just being fearless in those moments, trying to catch those punts and catching the ball on third down, being a good third down receiver? Is it just all about being fearless?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wild,
man. Nah, it's a thing you step in each week, week in, week out, and you got to know, you know, hits gonna come and playing that slot. I will be a liar to each kid who coming up to me asking me a question. Are they gonna get hit? You damn right you're gonna get hit, but you got to also have you got to have great peripherals in that slot.
Yeah,
like, and sometimes you gotta as a coach, you got, like I said, them knowing that gets them more prepared for it. Because it was some weeks that, you know, we got a hash read coming, and you know, Jimbo and Nossi, they going to tell you, hey, we gonna throttle you down, but you're going to get a hit. And, you know, at the end, we got a championship out of all the sacrifice in our body. And that goes for everybody, you know, walk-ons included. Like, everybody put their body on the line. Once you see a fearless, unselfish team, shit, you'll do it again as a 30-year-old. Like, if we can suit back up right now, I guarantee you a lot of us would together. Yes. Only together, though.
Yeah,
how strong the brotherhood is.
That's crazy, man. Because I think somebody said that you guys knew y'all was gonna win, and y'all knew y'all was gonna win. Well, y'all knew the team was different in the springtime. I think it was the spring, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what somebody told me.
Yeah, spring.
It was the springtime. Y'all, it was nobody making no more excuses. And, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Nobody really wasn't trying to hear that. No more excuses. None of this.
Man, Sam, it stemmed because, man, 2012, no offense to whoever won it. I don't even know who won it. That's how mad I was. But, you know, we a play away from going to the championship that year.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it come to that springtime, and it's like, man, who else can we point the finger at? You know, we can't put it at the coaches no more. We can't put it on. We can't put it on fans. Who else we gonna put it on at the end of the day? Like we and but we constantly saw elevation too, and shoot, you know, once I saw we started taking things on our own, and you know, once you're a senior too, you step a little different. Like you don't take a lot of that stuff that you kind of like. You know, it was easy in the other years. You know, just like we do 7-on-7 when the coaches make us. You know, let's go hang out a little bit. You know what I mean? But
right.
Once you're a senior and you don't got so close, you don't got a BCS win and everything, and it's like, man, we one step away. So I just remember that spring, shoot.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. You said that spring. who because it seemed like it was a lot of leaders on that team. So who was the main
leader? Yeah.
Because it felt like to me, like I had almost, well, it just, to me, it felt like the whole team was walking together. So I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I guess Wilder, a couple of those guys, but it seemed like I had like almost a leader, two leaders in every position group that year, it seemed like to me.
Yeah. Hey, at least, like we, at least two leaders. So with that being said, it's like, who was going to really stop us?
Right.
And that's the period where it's like, coach is not allowed to work with us too at some points. And we took it on our own just to get that work in. So it's like, you know, it's times and periods where you know for sure a lot of people, your opponents, they ain't working in. They, you know, they got a little break. It's springtime. They hanging out. And you don't blame them. You don't blame them. But, you know, we just held a standard at that time where it was like, man, like, you know, we putting our body on the line. We doing all this.
You might as well win the whole thing, right?
yeah. Like what we gonna have to show for it? You know what I mean? Yeah. It sound good. Oh, with a BCS, but that, you know, no offense. We beat NIU at the time, so it was like, man, let's just get the big one.
Yeah.
And I just remember we did that social media lockdown. And you know, it's ironic how if you look at the post that I last did that year, it was like, man, I'll see y'all at the end of this thing with a natty ring. And truthfully, I believed it, but it was one of them things where it was like, I didn't really believe it until once we kicked it off. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
Once things were going, it was like, man, like, did we speak this into existence? You know,
right.
And
right.
And I wish I could ask coaches, did how much they thought we was gonna do beforehand? You know what I mean? That's a great question for them.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you ever listen to Jimbo interview, that I seen him do one with Brian McFadden, and yeah, he really lights up when he talk about that team and just the mentality they had, you know, the mentality y'all had. You know what I'm saying? You could tell it was a special group for him. Before we keep going, man, I'm finna put this the link in here. This K-Shaw Instagram, man, follow him on that. Raw Shaw Academy, man, he's doing great work in the community, man. So y'all make sure y'all support that, man. Go out and support that. And sorry about that, but yeah, man. So anyway, I'm gonna get to the question. Somebody had a couple questions for you. They want to know, Kenny, can you give your opinion on the current wide receiver group and the route running? I'm gonna ask you a question before you get into it. I don't want you to get too critical.
Nah. Like hey, truthfully, Sam, hey, I can't get too critical because it's like, man, you know, the fun fact of myself, you know, once I get home from ball throughout the years, you know, I wasn't too much in ball, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
I catch a couple games, but you know, I can't get too critical because it's like, you know, that's a whole life that it's like. You know, once I criticize the kid, that's like saying I don't walked all in his shoes and I know his issues to the T.
Right,
and
right.
I don't know, but you know, I do hold my university like to a higher standard. And you know, I'll go on record and say, you know, at the end of the day, they know what they gotta improve on.
Right,
I can go in there and say they got to do this and that, but will they really do it, you know? And you know, a couple of these losses this year, you know, that it either sinks into them or it don't. And hopefully I think it'll go the other way around. I'm hoping to do as my alma mater, but it's one of them things where it's like
they seem like a powerful group to me though. They seem like a powerful group. You know what I'm saying?
So you can
give me your perspective. I got one. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's so much that we have a talent problem at wide receiver, right? I think that it's a combination of a lot of things, kind of like how it was with Jimbo the first couple of years when people used to get mad at the offense. They'd be like, oh, this offense keeps bogging down. It keeps bogging down.
Yeah.
And I think my opinion is that I don't know if there's enough creativity within the play calling and in some of the installments of the routes, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that makes the wide receiver routes are very predictable to the DBs. And I think that's why they look like that. Now, this is just me. I'm not looking at all 22 either. I'm just saying, like, this is what the way I look at them. Like, it's just weird to me. They never get wide open. Is that like a lack of creativity?
Man, schemes is very big in this talk we talking. You know, a lot of the times it's more so a kid getting in the groove. Cause I just remember during the time, like you say, we went through a couple years of, you know, we getting a lot of check downs and, you know, it's as a wide out, you can only imagine what that's doing to your confidence. Like you're not touching that rock. Yeah. Your hands ain't confident. And it's a difference between catching in practice, falling on your teammate versus actually executing. And, you know, it's just throughout the whole board of things, it's everybody just got to, you know, just lock in and get to one because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what make a championship team a team is everybody coming to one and just saying what it is, you know, having uncomfortable conversations. And, you know,
tough is that though, man? Because y'all came in together, and now these guys are kind of like got transfers coming in now. But you guys are one crew, so it's like it's different because y'all recruit each other and y'all came together. So I imagine it's already hard to have those tough discussions. But how hard is it to really get into that, like, yo, man, this is what it is? And
man, it's one of them things, and that's why I knew it was gonna be good. Like, man, Sam, we was having meetings just without coaches knowing, just to say what we need to do as a team, just to do better, whether it be in the classroom, on the field, in the nightlife. We had some uncomfortable but funny ass conversations. You can only imagine what is being said in the things, like people getting called out. You know, it was a lot of things, but it was something that was needed because.
And that was going through the championship run or just the year before?
Yeah, that was from that 12 to that 13 year. Like we was having like those real needed uncomfortable conversations, and you know, looking back on them, you just laugh because you know people was getting caught, like roommates were calling out each other, like, "Hey, you stand up doing this." Like, I don't think you folks, man. It was so much stuff, but it was like. It was one of them things where it's like, man, this in hindsight, we coming together. Right. And to touch back on your question with the wideouts and all that, it's, you know, at the end of the day, like, I know you know your team, but each segment has to have those two or more guys that will have uncomfortable conversations with everybody and will hold somebody to a standard. Instead of just, you know, no, because at the end of the day, once you realize that's your boy, then you can also realize he's gonna be honest with you, and a lot of we lack that in this generation now. Like, you know, hey, like you get, like I see kids now, they dap each other up after kid do something boneheaded, or you like, man, that boy, the games I do watch, you like, what, man, hey, I would
Dude, I remember that one time they caught Tevin Smith on audio, man, cursing Mario Edwards Jr. During a play. I think it was in the ACC championship game.
Man, Tevin, he was probably the group leader of them uncomfortable conversations. But it'll be funny too, because we'll flip it on him, because you know, everybody, you ain't perfect. Nobody's perfect. Right. And once everybody know that they held to a standard, then we can rock and roll. We can turn the tables. And as you see, you can see during that Pitt game, some people say they can see during the spring game, but we're playing against each other and we look good. But I would say they seen that Pitt game, like, hey, you better put them in the talks. And you know, it's something, I don't know. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was like, being a 90s baby, I don't understand what the hell Florida State did to these people in their lifetime, because Florida State might be the most hated team that I've personally, you know, with the recruiting and all that, like, your options open. Like I didn't grow up a Florida State fan, but once you get that no blood in you and you start to look at the bigger picture, we are hated.
Yeah, bro, it's ridiculous, bro. We hate it by, like, I'm convinced the ACC officials hate us. I'm convinced the whole conference hate us.
No, it's not. It's like fans. It's a lot of people. Like I say, I don't watch too much games, but I can be out and it can be a fan just trying to heckle me. It's like, bro, I don't get cocky. I don't say nothing. I don't wear my championship ring, but it's like, hey, you see Florida State doing bad. And it's like, bro, get out my face. You know what I mean? But it's like, whatever we do, like, damn, Norvell can take a shit at halftime. It's going to be breaking news on ESPN. It's like, I don't know what Florida State did.
We moved the needle, bro. Man. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what I think it is, to be real with you. I think with Florida State, I think Miami got a little bit of this too, right?
Yeah.
It was like this new kid on the block thing. When these schools got good, and then was like, when Florida State and Miami got good, especially Florida State, we stayed good for so damn long, it wasn't just a fluke. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kicking the door, you beating down.
And we got a little bit of swag about it.
Yeah, I mean, you beating down Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, all these big-time teams that's been around forever, and you just new. It's like you're a new blood school and on the national football stage like that. It's like you – I mean, Florida State went 3 years. They played the national championship 3 years in a row. That's stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
and you see why the Alabama's people just hate to see them keep in it.
And, man,
but at the end of the day, you just got to give them boys they props. You know, at the end of the day, but that ain't gonna happen.
That run,
I guess you're not a real fan if you don't talk shit about the opposing team or. But at the end of the day, I said, you know, I am thankful for this championship, because, you know, right now we ain't looking so hot. So it's like, you know, when I do get something said to me, if I do react, it's like, man, you don't understand how much goes into even just winning that big ship.
Yeah.
And usually the people who talk aren't the ones who are always in the talks of championship talk. It's usually, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, man, come on, what's your school doing?
Right. But, school ain't never won. That's why I always get into, like, with Georgia fans. I'd be like, yo, bro, y'all ain't never won nothing, bro. Like, I don't have to argue with y'all, bro. Like, go win something, bro. Come back and holler at me.
And they
something.
Hot. They hot right now, so they probably talking. but you give them to them, because that's not an easy thing to do. And I don't think these fans, I don't think a lot of fans realize how much it is to stay on that level and be week in, week out, consistently on top. And, you know, definitely being a school like ours, it's like, man, shoot. We are hunted a lot.
I took it for granted, especially in the Jimbo years. I took it for granted how we was winning so much. Mm-hmm. And then I think recently, like in the last year or so, especially on the Taggart, I kind of started realizing, like, you know, because Florida State used to beat ACC teams by like 40 and 50 points. Like, it was nothing to hang a big number on an ACC team.
Y'all got spoiled a little bit.
So I was telling somebody, I was like, you know, I was looking at NFL rosters. I was like, you know what? That's a lot of ACC players that actually they play in the NFL. That become NFL players. So I was like, the conference has gotten better. It don't get credit for that. But like even that year that y'all had, y'all played against Aaron Donald. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like 11 NFL guys was on the Louisville team.
The Clemson's. we don't have some talk. And the thing is, you look at our record versus SEC every time we did play. I would say in that era we was probably 4-1 if that.
Yeah, y'all done it. I mean, y'all beat the crap out of that South Carolina team that had a generational talent on that team with Steve Spurrier coaching. Y'all beat that team. Yeah. I mean, don't get me started on the Florida teams y'all beat. So
yeah,
I mean,
so it's like so you get them talks like ACC versus SEC and all that in that era. Shoot, it can be from the Mac West or whatever them that league, man, we gonna beat the shit out of them. And that's just how we walked. Like whatever, because at the end of the day, it's like that person, whoever you lining us up against, you know, they don't practice like you did. They gonna suit up like you gonna suit up. They gonna, right. You know, they coming. And you know, I think this generation with a lot of the generation gotta realize like it don't stop once you get to that big university. You got to realize that you got to hold yourself to a different standard, and you got to realize that, you know, you playing at the end of the day, you playing for that name on the back of that jersey.
Yeah.
You know, like I get college is a big thing, but at the end of the day, what you really playing for?
Yeah.
And I don't like to lose. Yeah. And I wasn't used to losing because I didn't know our record in that 4-year span, but you look back on it, you're like, damn, we lost 6 games in that 4 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I look back. I mean, we do that now. We do that every year. We lose 6 games in a season. It's like it's nothing now. It's crazy.
We do. See, Don't tell me that, man.
No, man. But it's one of those things though, because I told somebody, I said, dude, you know what? Because Jimbo said this, I think it was like the year before he left. He was just like, you know, y'all need to appreciate wins around here. Cause I think the fans was kind of on his, you know, was on him a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know, y'all need to appreciate wins a little bit. And I remember everybody got mad about him saying that. And you know, I look back at all this stuff. I'd be like, man, shit, man, Jimbo was right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like your old lady saying some shit that she right about, but you don't want to admit she was right. You're like, man,
hey, and guess what right I do during that. Guess what I do during when I know she right? I just be quiet and get to it. Like, I just be quiet, I get quiet, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think the fans do realize now, because Mike not a bad coach. It seemed like he heading in the right direction. I think they all realize like it takes a lot more than just Saturdays to get this shit back going. It's gonna take recruiting. It's gonna take recruiting the right players. It's gonna take the fans, like, you know, just to realize that it's gonna be all right at the end of the day. Like Florida State can't be bad for a decade. You know what I mean? It's some light at the end of the tunnel. And I do appreciate when I do meet or talk with a fan that's, you know, still enduring this pain, aka what you say, these 6+ lost years. But and it's tough for me watching, you know, and it's tough for all the former players, because, you know, we get on the day, man, we can come with a Florida State shirt on and we getting shit talked to us. It's like, man, do you know what?
Yeah, everybody's associated with the loser, bro. All of us are.
So it's like we all getting it and we all want the best, but at the end of the day, if I'm jumping into a D1 collegiate player head, you got to put that on your back.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me ask you this. I mean, we get ready.
And I'm not talking about an undefeated season. I'm talking about some of them wins. Some of them losses. You got to put it on your back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like you said with the girl. You tell you something you needed to hear. Just be quiet, lock in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt. So let me ask you this question then, Kenny. Like, when you say the right type of guys, what is that? What is the right type of guy, if you don't mind me asking? What is the right type of guy? Like, because I mean, I got an idea, but I'd rather for you to just tell the fans.
Right type of guy, you know, it can be a handful of things. You know, it can be somebody who just, you know, I'd say unselfish, the first one. Because, you know, it's a lot of guys feeling they self nowadays. You know, they feeling their ratings, the fan hype, they feeling a lot of it without even making them play. So unselfishness is a thing, you know. Definitely you gotta have some grit. You gotta be resilient, you gotta be somebody who just at the end of a game or practice be like, I did all I can do for that team. And if you gotta have a lot of those guys. Mm. So the right guy, it ain't no real recipe.
Yeah.
It's just about, you know, fuck all what I look like on the stat sheet. Fuck what I look like, height, size, speed, and all that wise.
Right.
Give me a blue collar guy.
Yeah, give me a guy that's gonna work.
Give me a guy after a loss that's gonna say, hey, that's on us. Give me a guy that's gonna do the extra things. And I ain't talking about one of them guys, Sam, that's they gonna look at the coach and then do something extra. You like, man, that's you know what I mean? Hey, they look at the coach, but hey, we don't call some people out in the meeting like that, you know? It just had to stop because that ain't okay. And I might have been one to say it, and I'm a man of many words, but I got a couple pet peeves that's probably one of them. But, you know, do the right thing when nobody looking, you know? And you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, the right guys, they all gonna come together, and that's a championship team.
That's so crazy, man. You sit there talking about, you know, doing the right thing. Like, it's crazy, man. A locker room is so damn fickle, bro. Like, a locker room is fickle as hell. So it's like, you can't be fake, like, around a bunch of real, you know what I'm saying? A bunch of real.
Oh, definitely not. Man, our team was Southern Georgia, Miami, Central Florida, really.
Yeah,
And we had Bama with Jameis. You know what I mean? You gonna tell me that it's gonna be anything fake slip in them cracks?
Nah, ain't right?
And that's what if we had cameras following us around the whole time, you'll even see it. If we didn't agree with something with the coaches, man, we used to have back and forth with coaches, you know what I mean? Like on some shit where it's like, the coach saying, man, see me in my office afterwards, because like, you, and Jimbo will tell you, man, we had some heated conversations. We had some heated arguments on the field, but that just mean, man, we was in it. You know what I mean?
Like, just dogs, man.
It's like, man, we sacrificing too. Like, hey, you going to listen to us and you going to respect what we doing. And it got to the point where he was like, man, I respect anything y'all do, and that's what made, now that I look back on it, that's what made the halftime speech in the championship game that much more of a shift, because he, at that point, he was just like, man, these guys, like, I don't learn them as young men, like, I don't learn them as young athletes, like,
yeah,
these guys, like, they can do whatever they want, like, let me be calm about it, because I don't learn them. Like, this ain't the time for it. Like, we don't already had our motherfuckers in practices and all that. But this ain't the time. And just, and he just, he flowed. Like, it was just calm. This is the calmest probably halftime speech of a team losing that to have in the championship game.
Yeah. Let me, so you're talking about the championship game. I got to ask you this question. This is a question somebody asked me. I always wanted to know this. Who had the livest 11-on-11? Was it Jimbo versus Pruitt or Jimbo versus Mark Stoops? Who was more live? Like, what?
Oh, like, shit. Damn.
Who went the hardest?
I got to say Pruitt, because Pruitt was one of them ones who, you can tell that he was throwing some like different type shit during whatever we was doing. And it was like, it was getting to a point where coaches were getting, the opposing sides was getting so mad at each other. That was like, it got us hype, and that was made us like, it was really iron on iron. Like, because it was like, you don't know what scheme we about to do. And you don't on, and the other, so it was like, I would say prove it, because this dude would be throwing out some of the most craziest blitzes and coverages. But, and I would say he had a lot of pieces. Like, man had, you saw his D line, you saw his linebackers, you saw his secondary. He can do what the hell he want.
Yeah, that was prove it.
And Pruitt knew it too. And Pruitt knew it too. And he was cocky with it during practice. So it was funny now. It's funny now because Jimbo would be like, man, what the hell was that? You know, like. And,
okay.
But hey, to answer your question, it was Pruitt for sure.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. So since we are on that team again, what DB always came with the shit every day? What DB was the one you like, here you go with the shit today? Like, it's supposed to be a relaxed day. He coming with the shit today.
Hey, LaMarcus Jordan. That's an easy one. Man, that dude, hey. That dude is the reason I had that 1,000-yard year. That he was the whole reason, because it was just like he was the nickel, right? And it was just me and him the whole time. And I just knew Joyner can play it all. Joyner was one of them guys who was, he was every bit of his 5 stars.
Mm.
And coming in with him, it was like, man, I see why he playing as a freshman like this. It was like, and it was like, man. Wait, 5'9", benching 300 plus, man. Oh man, you got what I'm saying? I'm like, man, I gotta come with all my shit in my bag today. Cause he not gonna be the type that you can whisper to him and be like, hey bro, chill on this play. You know what I mean? No, hey, he coming every time, and you know I needed that, you know?
Right. Yeah, they say I think D Walt said like you couldn't outwork LaMarcus Jordan. Like
you can't.
Yeah, he said you could not work LaMarcus Jordan. Like, it's
he was the most electric defensive player we had. Mm. Truthfully.
Mm.
Right. And I'm saying that because he blazing fast, he's super strong, just smart as hell, IQ through the roof. Like, and it played a dividend too, because you know, as a freshman, he came in, and that's how I know how important a child is in your life, because he came in with a kid and you can just tell what that dude was playing. Like, you know, each one of our wives was different.
Yeah.
As a freshman, definitely, because it's like, shit, we in Tallahassee and on our own.
Yeah.
And you get what I'm saying?
Right, like, right.
But we also trying to still figure ourselves out versus you got people like Joyner, who, you know, he had a child, and it was like, man, you can tell this dude, he playing for something.
Mm,
and, you know, we, a couple of us needed to see that. And definitely if we class of 2010, you know, that's our, it's like a frat. That's our little frat brotherhood right there. And
right.
Dude came every day, 4 years, that's classroom funny. And all. Like he was that dude.
Yeah. That's crazy. I always tell people that they was talking about Travis Sam, Hunter, which I mean,
Sam, no social media. I'm talking about he was locked in from
day one.
Day one.
I was telling somebody, they was talking about Travis Hunter coming here, changing the program. You know, this was before he committed to Jackson State or whatever. And people kept comparing him to LaMarcus Jordan. I was like, yo, I think we need to chill out on the Jordan comparisons. Yeah. I said, ain't a lot of people built like that, dude. Nah, just
LaMarcus Jordan was a grown man. And the thing is, it was like, I can even just flash back to like, man, we it'd be funny, like we'll be out and about, you know, just as a team, and it'd be like, if we see even a glimpse of LaMarcus, we're like, boy, what you doing now? Like, you know what I mean? It was such a rare sighting. It was like, man, you know, because he was just so focused, and it was just like, man, like we gonna win some games if he playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy to say that. Like, he never even went out. I didn't know that much about him. I didn't know he was like Kobe.
Hey, that boy come out in his Miami little gear. He come out with his Tims and a wife beater, maybe. Hey, he was a down south boy. That's my dog, bro. That's a brother.
Let me get this last question out. Somebody asked, they said, the standard. I said, what do we have? Do we have those type of players on the roster to get it done? And what does it take for FSU to get back? I thought you answered that already, though.
I don't truly know how much we got on that roster, but I do know that, like, we had a LaMarcus Joyner type dude on that DN. I don't know the name, number 11.
Oh, Jermaine Johnson. Yeah.
Man, hey, dude, you can tell he was playing for something. And, you know, looking into a story, like, if I'm looking into a player currently, that means that I see his grit. And you can just see his story. You know, he what did he play? Came from JUCO, stuff that he had. He had a hell of a story.
With the JUCO, stayed in the car. I think he stayed in his car. Because, you know, JUCO's, man.
He stayed in his car?
I think he did stay in his car for a little while, but man, I know he was out there, like, Minnesota nowhere, like a nowhere school in Minnesota somewhere.
Man, hey, it's paying off for him because, hey, he going to be on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
God willing. And, you know, at wideout, we got some – that's the thing. We got some playmakers. Like, when I first started getting into even just wanting to train or – be around wideouts. It was when I was in 2019 going back to school, and I got a hold of the wideouts and Jay Blackman. And it was like, you know, it was the Heltons and the Pokies. Like, you know, I got a hold of them guys, and it was a good feeling just giving it back because I was once in their shoes in this walk on this campus. And it was like, man, like, that's when I was like, man, I kind of like coaching. I kind of like this aspect of life at the ball. And this was in 2019. And, you know, we got the pieces. We just got hammered in. And I'm talking all over the board, coaching, recruiting, players, everybody.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, it's so funny, man. People talk about these wide receivers. And I get kind of upset about it because I'd be like, man, it's good wide receivers here because I like Pokey. Pokey has been our best wide receiver for like 3 years, right? Yeah. And people keep saying things like, well, he's not this and he's not that. And I don't necessarily know if that's true because I was like, I wonder if he was at somewhere else, like a, I don't know, like a Wake Forest or somewhere where he averaged 1,000 yards a season. Because because he does make plays. And even Helton was a good player before he got hurt. And it's just like, it's hard for me because I'm one of the people that people get mad at me because they say I rag on the coaches a lot, which I do. I do that. You know what I'm saying? But it's just because I feel like it's good players there. I feel like we're not tapping as much as the potential of some of those guys. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like you saying it about Pokey and Helton, man, I do remember them guys being good players. Like even Pokey this year. Yeah. He made a lot of plays this year. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. He definitely stepped up when he needed to. And that's the name of the game, Sam. And sometimes, you know, as players, when you know you're going to mess up. Because I said this the other day. I said, man, for years on the state, it's like, man, I used to look up my name after a game just to see what they talking about. Because that's just what drove me to do better. Like, vengeance, what I was touching base on. And it was like, you know, at the end of the day, you got to snap out of that and kind of realize, like, you can put your own self in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's based off up top how you feel about yourself, man.
Right.
You know, however your story's being written, that's how it's going. And, you know, you get a lot. Receivers, I tell them before they even step on the field, if you ain't got confidence, you're in the wrong position. Because we are like the hidden – we like the hidden group on the team that we got a lot on our backs. People don't even know it.
Yeah.
They just think wide out, catch balls. Nah, you got a big target on your back and you better put your big boy draws on because you're gonna get some shit talked about you. You know, as a group, can you have lesser drops? Definitely.
Yeah.
You gotta pride yourself on that. And that a lot of that comes with, like you say, it can be after practice. Get on that jug machine. It can be like you say with the coaching. It can be, hey, hype these players up. Because coaching goes a long way. You can have a kid damn near run through a wall if you a great coach. I guarantee you, Nick Saban got a couple guys he can run through a wall right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And he hired people that know how to get kids to run through a wall for him too. Uh-huh. So I mean, they have a really consistent message.
You get what I'm saying? So it's a little bit of everything. So they can't really get on you about criticizing and coaching. Because a couple of plays this year, one in particular, oh man, I don't even want to speak on that. I actually woke up and saw the ESPN headlines that we lost that game.
You're talking about the Jacksonville State game. Yeah.
I didn't even watch that game, but you know, I woke up and saw it, and I'm like, you can't really put that on the players. You can put the effort at the end on the player.
Right.
But this whole scheme of it, that end play, oh.
Yeah. I've said it.
You look in the mirror, and you can put that one on you.
Yeah. So I guess my last question to be, man, I mean, not my last question, but my last thing. What do you think about that? Like, is that something you're going to continue to do to keep working with the wide receivers that come through Florida State or trying to reach out to those guys and doing the whole?
I'm like one of them floaters. Like, you'll never know who I train with, I have. Like, I don't, you know, Jameis don't came to a couple sessions. Like, I get some pro guys here and there. I get a lot of college guys. I get a lot of high school guys. I got a whole bunch of youth. And my thing is, the more they come, the more I'm in it. And even if it's just, because it started out with just, when I came back to Orlando after graduation, it started out just one kid I was training. Mm-hmm. And I saw the mental side of it, how I can get a kid to play better just off just talking to him. Because his issue wasn't on the field. It was, at the time, his mother died.
Right.
And he had no why. He had no push no more. So it was more so, how can I get him to this level that he want to be at before he even touched the field as a wideout? So sometimes you see, you got to jump on your gifts. And I didn't know it at the time, because no player knows that they're going to coach. Some do early and they jump to it, but some, it just happens in a weird way. And mine's happened just, you know, going back to school in 2019 just to finish up. And I took it and ran with it. So I definitely, I'm a floater, because I say that because it's like, yeah, I like football and all, but shit, you know, life, it you deal with a lot more than ball. And, you know, you're going to see some mental health type seminars. You're going to see a little bit of everything, some, you know, single woman type things.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, it's a lot of things that it all comes back to these athletes and how they able to produce themselves, because some fans might not know that what they battling. Some fans don't know that they situation, like, and even without ball, everything I would say in life deals with communication. And, you know, but I do love seeing a player being developed, though, in this art of route running and what I do, because it's not easy. And I love it, because that's the first thing a kid do realize when he come to a session, like, man, this shit is not going to happen in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it, because they expected it to be given. Like I said, probably a couple minutes, like 30 minutes ago, and like, they promised too much. Instead of just getting back to the grinding standpoint of things, like, it's, you got to work for it if you want it.
Yeah, I think that's the new age. That's the new age problem, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely
that's the new age problem, because, like,
well, my damn son falling in it under this new age thing, so it's like I gotta find some new tricks and trades.
Yeah,
who knows what his era gonna be like?
It's hard to, because I got a little cousin and he played defensive back for Lake City, and I keep trying to explain to him, like, man, you know, you got to put the work in. Like, you just want to play, like, you can play, but is you gonna do the work? Like, where is the work at? Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, one of the guys who trained the quarterbacks where I in my session, he was like, man, you know how many 11-year-olds there is playing football in Orlando? Just that statistic alone is like, and you can, your Lake City, you said cousin?
Yeah.
It's like, just in the world, you know how many DBs it is?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I mean, And it's hard to explain them how much work you got to put in. Yeah. I was like, I told somebody,
what's going to set you apart?
Yeah. And it's hard because, like, I remember when I was growing up, we never really talked about it because we just played a sport just to play a sport. We didn't really have nobody saying, be up at 6 on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember the first time I went to an AAU meet, I was talking to this dude. He's like the number 3, number 4 player in the country or whatever. And I was like, man, how often you work out or whatever? He was like, how often do I not work out? Because he was like, I work out every day. What are you talking about? I was like, I'm like, what about Friday? I put in more work on Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Man, hey, everybody got a schedule. The thing is, when you do lay some things up, get to it. Because I'm one of them ones, I like to let loose and be a human being sometimes. Like, I'm going to go to the beach. I might go brunch. I might I want to be a normal. I want to get out of this mental space of ball all the time.
Right.
So, but once I'm in it, you're not taking me out of it. I'm not distracted by anything.
Right.
I ain't trying to take selfies. I ain't trying to dance. No, I be catching a couple of them at my session. I call them little booty shakers. They just want to dance and do their TikTok stuff all the time. I be like, man, come on, man. That ain't going to get you no scholarship that you want.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's tough. That's tough.
I don't know.
It's tough,
they're gonna
man.
Get it together because at the end of the day, they're gonna, you know, it comes down to signing day. They're gonna be looking crazy, like, man, I could have did it.
Yeah, yeah, and it go by so fast, man. It go
and
by
it don't
so
matter
fast.
About D1. I be telling, man, you see, college is shifting, and you gotta love it and you gotta hate it.
Mm-hmm.
You love it because it's like any level you go to, you can make it to where you want to go. If you want to go pros, if you're a baller, you're a baller. They're gonna find you.
Right.
But it's coming to the point where it's, you know, you got the NILs, you got a lot of stuff that you got to battle off the field with these athletes.
Yeah. What's your thought on that, the NIL? What do you think about this?
My thoughts is I probably would love it when my son get in it, if he gets in it. You know, I ain't got no more else to say.
All right. Hey, man, Kenny, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. I really do, man. I kind of asked you out of nowhere, so I appreciate you showing the love and coming on this pod, man.
Nah, no doubt. It's for the Seminoles. I always, you know, I make some time for Seminole Nation.
Hey, that's what's up, man. Oh, man, y'all make sure, man, I just dropped it in the comments, man. Make sure you go follow his Instagram page and follow the website, man. Kenny doing good work, man. Support Knowles, man. Support Knowles. What I'm gonna say, Kenny. So you going to any games this year? You gonna make a game?
Basketball? I missed this year because, you know, the whole pregnancy thing and being in Canada and stuff. But I'm gonna make some games. I always like to make that a thing. Like I make it a boys' weekend, but I think I'm gonna enjoy it a little bit more with my son. And my girl, she don't know much about football, but she see why Tallahassee so crazy. Like, she went out there one time and was like, this is why these fans crazy. Like, it makes sense now. Like, but it's a good town. And
yeah, you have to
winning or losing, I'm gonna support them. So I just gotta pick out a game. So
yeah.
I got duped into what is it, in 23? They play LSU.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's next year. Next year's LSU.
Is it 22?
22.
I think I might actually make that one.
All right. Kenny said he down for it. We might even get Ken on the sideline to help with the wires.
I ain't never been in New Orleans. So
I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm conflicted because I kind of want to go to the New Orleans game, but then I kind of do want to go to Jacksonville State down in Miami to watch Jacksonville State play FAMU. I kind of want to see that too. So I'm kind of like, I got to make a decision. So I got some time though. All right, man. All right, Kenny. Hey, y'all, that's the show, man. We appreciate everybody. If you're looking to sponsor the show, man, please hit the DMs. I really want to do something different with sponsorship with the show. I want to do something like looking for small businesses, people that's trying to sell t-shirts and little stuff like that. I really kind of want it to be like more of a local sponsorship type pod, to be honest with you. So if you're looking for somebody to promote your stuff, man, just hit my DMs, man, and we'll make it work. So, hey, Kenny, we appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate y'all.
You just heard the Listen Up podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
serve crack.